We're speaking now with Kim Spock. He's the district superintendent at the West Bonner County School District. Kim, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Good morning, Chris. Happy to speak with you.
Yes, and Kendra Selesky, she is the business director for the West Bonner County School District. And Kendra, do you have another title in addition to that?
No, luckily I just have the one.
One title, okay.
I might
Good.
be the only one in the district, but.
Yeah, in a district where people wear many hats. Well, we have a levy proposal coming up. It's going to be on the May 20th ballot for people to vote on. It's a 2-year levy asking for $2.35 million per year to support the school district. And we have here on KRFY interviewed folks from the district before. Outlining, the need for this in previous incarnations, but it hasn't passed previously. So we want to talk about what this levy will be used for, and the kinds of questions people in the community have been putting forward. But before we get to that, why don't you describe the district boundaries, because that's going to go to who gets to vote in this election.
I can give you some generals, and because Kendra has lived here, she can probably be specific with polling places. So from east to west, state of Washington over to Montana, or I'm sorry, not Montana, but the Lake Ponderay School District line, which is probably middle county,
Yeah, kind of near
south.
Laclede, right? I'm not sure what side of
Yeah.
Laclede that falls on
Yeah,
the
and Vey.
yeah.
McLeod on the north and Vey on the south, about 12 miles from Sandpoint. And then north would be Boundary County and south would be Kootenai County.
Okay,
So pretty big area.
so it takes in all of Priest Lake as well.
Yes.
Correct. Nordman,
In
Kulin.
fact, that's one zone for a trustee.
Yes, and there are five trustee positions, is that right?
True,
Yeah,
yes.
so each trustee represents a zone or part of your overall district. Kendra, so where do you have a list of the polling places? Of course, people will need to look this up, but it might be helpful if they hear it over this part of this interview.
Yes, I actually just pulled it up myself. So we have the Blue Lake Community Hall, the Priest River Event Center, the Edgemere Grange Hall, going through the Laclede Community Hall, Priest Lake Elementary School, Old Town Rotary Park Visitor Center, Kulin Civic Organization, the Blanchard Grange and Priest River. Okay, that we already said Priest River Event Center. So there should be seven different locations there.
Okay, and people will be able to vote on next Tuesday, that's May 20th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at any of those seven polling places. Of course, your polling place is determined by where you live in the school district. And if you're unsure about this, I'll throw this out. There is a very helpful website. It's voteidaho.gov, and if you go there and you put in your information like your street address, it'll actually tell you where your polling place is. So if there's an uncertainty about that, you can look that up. And Kendra, if people weren't sure, could they call your office to ask about that?
They can. It is on our West Bonner County school site under the levy information. That Vote Idaho information is right there, the tab to get into that.
Okay,
And we
so
can
that's
walk them through
helpful.
that if they need help.
Yep, that's helpful as well. And your website is sd83.org. So that's short for School District 83, I'm sure. Okay, so that's kind of the mechanics of voting. I will mention as this airs, we're recording this in advance on Monday. This is going to air on Wednesday, the 14th. As it airs, early voting is occurring right now. If you want to vote early and you happen to be in Sandpoint, you can do that at the Bonner County Elections Office. That's in the main administrative building on Highway 2 at the, what's that, the kind of the east end of Sandpoint. So folks could vote there until Friday, and then you have to wait until Election Day, May 20th, to cast a vote. So as I described, the levy is $2.35 million per year as proposed for 2 years. So why don't we go into what will the levy be used for? What's the basis for asking for this levy?
Well, the state of Idaho, the legislature funds 70% to 80% of our operations. And in 2006, because of tax revolt, they gave about 20% to 30% of the community. So over the failure of our levies the last few times, we ran a levy of 1.1 collection in November, and we really whittled it down to what do we need, because we had heard from the community that there's all this stuff on there, but what do you really need? When that failed, we sharpened the pencil again and came back with 2.35. We want to run student enrichment activities, school and classroom resources, additional student classes, build our contingency fund, funding for teacher and support staff jobs, school operation expenses, buying one bus a year for 2 years, and then health, school health services. And we were able to employ what we call B squared, which was our previous business manager who's over in Newport, along with her trainee. And within that, they found funds that had not been spent, that had been deposited into the district accounts, but had not been spent from previous levies. In all, at the meeting that they spoke, we need about $3 million from the local community. But over 2 years now, we are reducing it. We've reduced it to 2.35 because we plan on spending the money that the community voted in a few years ago, specifically in the areas where they said that they would approve it. Kendra?
Correct. So the money that was left in those accounts were two main areas, was for funding for support staff and teachers, and for the extra and co-curricular funds there. And then we are basically paying down the amount in several other areas with the interest and penalties that come in when people pay late on their taxes. And so we get the money that, you know, from their tax, and then we also get the penalty and interest. And that goes into a separate account for budgeting. And so using those funds to help buy down basically what we need to what we're actually putting on the ballot. So those areas that we're using those funds for would be the extra and co-curricular, the music program, the art program, the bus acquisition, and the nurse and school psych. So a lot of times, what we proposed of the 3.8 that we needed, and then after we use those funds is where we're coming in with that 2.353 that we're putting on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So we're making sure that we are using the funds that our voters have used, have voted on in the past, in the areas that they voted on, and then using the interest and penalty account along with those funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the levy funds, with those additional funds, are going to go to a whole variety of things, as you just mentioned, student enrichment activities, buses, additional classes and support staff. What happens if the levy doesn't pass? This is the third try. Yeah. What kind of situation does a district face in that case?
Well
the board... Go ahead. The board was adamant that we fund four schools. And last year, when the levy failed, the junior high was closed, knowing that coming into this year, we would face the same thing. And so educationally, we want to fund four schools, and that's why we put the levy out. But if the levy fails, then there will be elimination to two schools. And we want to make sure that people understand that we want the board wants four schools open.
Okay, that's their intent. But if the levy fails, the hard choice is going to be you might have to close a couple schools. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. Kendra, you can add whatever.
And that just goes to what we fund for staff will be exactly what the state will fund us. So when we sit down and look at what our protected units are as of February 15th foundation payment, that would put us at being able to fund 51.89 teachers and 17 support staff.
Which
is a significant reduction in the support staff that we currently have.
Okay, so there's going to be a cutback in personnel.
And that's why we talk about going down to the two schools, because of the amount of support staff and teachers that we'll be able to fund.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel has made the levy so difficult to pass up to this point?
Kendra, why don't you start?
Okay. So there has
been living here.
Yeah, so there has been a lot of feel in the community that maybe the district wasn't transparent, or there was a lot of rumors that there was unethical things going on in the finance department. And so the district's been through the forensic audit. Sorry, I'm going all over the different audits we're in the middle of. So we did the forensic audit that came back that they could not find anything that was fraudulent. They did come back with suggestions on cleaner practices, but just like all of our other audits, you know, there was nothing that found that there was anything fraudulent going on.
No malfeasance. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep, that was the correct verbiage. So that was one hurdle that we've had to get through. And I think it's just that continually that wasn't – there were some that felt that that wasn't enough, and then they are still going after saying that there was, you know, something not right. Then that's when B-squared came through and they balanced out all of our cash lines. Going clear back to 2015, again, not seeing anything. So I think it's a hurdle that we're slowly climbing up, trying to be as transparent about what is happening with current audits and the financial state of the district. It does makes it very hard when we have gone through four business managers in a little over a year. So that was one of the nice things about when the board came in and hired B-squared, is because one of those ladies actually founded West Bonner in 99 and worked here until 2015. So she was very familiar with our accounting system and our books and able to go back and bring us to what Trustee Hall calls a firm foundation for finances going forward. So it was a lot to do with past spending that maybe people in the community didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kim.
And I would agree with that. I think partly too, from what I understand, is people from out of the state have moved in, don't understand funding, because states that they were in more fully fund the school systems. Mm-hmm. So there's that apprehension there of why would we tax ourselves? And we would tax ourselves because we would want to have students grow up, move on into the workforce, college, and come back and take up the positions that are needed in the community, like, for example, firefighters, policemen, and, you know, overall workforce that you need to have in a community to keep, maintain, and grow.
A lot of places, including, Idaho in general has been growing. Is the student population about maintaining, or is it getting larger or smaller?
Well, we are 903 there about this year, and it's been, I think, in the past, because parents have options, it's been shrinking. So part of this is making sure we understand what the state will send us based on our student count at ADA, average daily attendance for the year, and then saying, okay, to bridge that gap, this is the levy. And we are cutting. As we go through this process, we always look to make ourselves more efficient in what we are spending money on, and being really good stewards of the taxpayers' funding.
Okay. Well, I know you mentioned pre-talk here that you have been holding informational sessions around the community. What sorts of questions have community members been coming with?
Well, mainly general questions, and then there was some confusion on the ballot where it was out that it was $43 per 100,000. Where does $34 come from per 100,000 if the levy passes? A few years ago, House Bill 292, the legislature passed, which gave taxpayer relief, and there is a priority list on the taxpayer relief, I think going for bonds first, to pay off bonds first, then any facility levies, and then finally maintenance and operations levies. And if there is no levy, then it can be used for facilities. So we have gotten the last three years, including this third year would be this year, in August, we have a payment of about $500,000, a little over, based on our ADA for the year for that purpose. So we calculate the $2.353 million would be reduced to $1.8353 million. I'm not getting my calculations correct here, but about $1.8 million. So that's what we would collect, because $500,000 of the taxpayer relief money would reduce what is collected. And then we have an L2 that goes in to the county in September. And if the levy passes, then there would be tax relief.
What will be the tax impact of folks if the levy passes? Kim, maybe you could address that.
Sure. Again, $2.35 million thereabouts would be collected. And the calculation is $43 per 100,000. And then because the legislature passed tax relief in House Bill 292 3 years ago, the state is sending about $500,000 in August that will be for tax relief. So subtract that from the $2.3 million, you get around $1.853 million, and the legislature put priorities on the tax relief to first go for any bond that the district may have, which we don't, any facility levy, which we have and we don't, and then finally a supplemental maintenance and operations levy, which we hope to pass. And then when we send our L2 in, we would take the $500,000 that the state has the legislature has given us, and that would reduce the tax burden from 43 to 34 per 100,000.
Oh, so there could actually be a reduction after it passes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Follow up on a question or a point you made earlier is that folks that are newer to Idaho may not understand or that the state actually finances our education at one of the lowest rates in the country, which is caused, I think the number is 85% of the school districts around the state have to pass supplemental levies to meet their, try to meet their educational goals, which is, I think, part of what's happening with West Bonner County District.
If that's a question, I would say yes, because many times when we talk to people from out of state, they say, well, where we're from, they fully fund it. Well, I think making the change and over time, again, with transparency and trust, that's what we're aiming to do. But until we have enough meet and greets where we talk to people that they can understand that, you know, that's the challenge we're facing. And then I think also, you know, that's a part of it. And then the other questions we've been getting in our meet and greets are, well, what are you doing? And well, we also looked at some innovative programs. The state funds self-directed learners, and we're working with Overture, which is an Idaho-based company, on bringing homeschool parents in if they want, if this is a program for them, that would help capture ADA for the district, and then also be able to fund the events and things that the homeschool parents would like to be a part of. Kendra, you want to add?
Sure. So just really sitting down with the administration team and looking at our district as a whole and what is the population doing for, you know, education for our students. And we say our students because this is West Bonner County School District, and every child in that perimeter, basically, we want to make sure gets an education that they deserve. And if there's any way that the school district can help to make sure that our children grow up with the education they need to become the next generation in our community, that is part of our responsibilities. So there's a lot of parents out there who are very proficient in their homeschooling, and there's a lot of parents out there that that's what their heart desire is, but they need a little guidance. And so that's really nice about this program, is we have certified teachers that will be their mentor. They'll be able to help them create their daily layout of what they needed to do, and then basically follow back up with them and say, hey, it looks like we're falling behind in this or that. What can we do to help get that child, you know, back up? Gives a parent somebody to reach out to for assistance when they feel that they need it, so that at the end of the program, the child has an education, the parents have been successful and doing what they wanted, what their heart's desire was, is to be their kid's teacher and to be able to give them an education inside their home. And so that's just one of the nice aspects of this program, is that it's a win-win for the district and for the families that we're reaching out and helping.
So there, yeah, even homeschoolers benefit from this.
Yeah, and I think too, the trustees, there's a shift in saying, well, it's just not just the kids that come to the brick and mortar school; it's all kids that live in the district. Mm-hmm. And this is open. The legislature has opened it up, and we say that we want to assist parents. You know, if it's a program for you, we'd love to have you. If it's not, we understand, just like it is now. And then, also through that, we've learned that this is going to be focus on K-8 to start with. We're starting small because we want to build and we want to make sure that it's strong. And then there's also homeschool parents who would like to have a diploma and access to some career technical education. Well, we could serve that need. And in fact, they have it now. It's just that with the legislature putting the funding in for reimbursables, that really it's caught on around the state. So we're saying we want to be a part of assisting parents, and we have programs to offer that you already can be a part of or not. And again, another example would be anybody who gets to the junior and senior high school level could be in a sport. So we're trying to expand, and the trustees have really come along and saying we want to work with all parents and all kids in the district, whether they come to school every day or they're homeschooled.
Okay, well, we are shortly running out of time. Are there any other points that you'd like to make?
Well, yeah. You know, there's, I guess, also questions on why the bus acquisition. Well, previously, and again, the ballot says $25,000 funding from what was from previous levies, and then also the bus depreciation that we get every year. We're making a concerted effort to get back on depreciation schedule so that we can buy current buses and with safety standards and driver standards, safety standards. We want to get back on that schedule so then we don't have to go out in the future levies to say we need to buy buses. So that's an important aspect of this levy also.
Okay, and I will say there's a ton of information about the levy on your website. That's sd83.org, and then you click to the levy information page, and it breaks down with quite a bit more detail than we've actually covered here. And again, the levy election is May 20th. That's next Tuesday. Polls are open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. if you live within the West Bonner County School District. You can vote early right now if you go, happen to be in Sandpoint at the county building on Highway 2 there. And I'd like to say Kim Spock, District Superintendent, and Kendra Selesky, the Business Director, thank you for speaking with us. Any final word here you'd like to offer?
I just thank you for your time.
Okay. And Kendra?
I didn't say thank you, and just for all of our voters to get out there and vote. It's a very important freedom that we have.